Here is Judge Thompson. Welcome to you. And again, counsel, this is the case of Signal 88 LLC versus Laconic LLC. Counsel, before you begin. Sure, we've got all our papers in order here. Are you Mr. Everston?
Your Honor, Mike DeGann on behalf
Mike
of
DeGann, Laconic. I apologize. And this is petition for further review.
Yes, Your
Honor. Very good. And Mr. Everston, good morning to you also. Do either counsel have any questions before we begin? Mr. DeGann, you may proceed.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court and counsel. My name is Michael DeGann. I'm here on behalf of the Appalee Laconic LLC, who's also the petitioner here for further review, and would ask to please reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. We are here today because we believe a decision of the Court of Appeals, which reversed a decision of the district court to affirm an arbitration decision, was erroneous. And the decision of the Court of Appeals was to reverse that decision and to remand the matter back with directions to refer it back to arbitration, an arbitration that had occurred back in 2016. The key issue that the Court of Appeals seized upon in reversing the decision below was a question of first impression identified by the Court of Appeals, which is, what role does a court play when the parties disagree as to the proper interpretation of an arbitration decision? With all due respect to the Court of Appeals, I submit that that decision has already been, or that question has already been answered by the Nebraska Unicameral. Section 252610 deals with exactly this situation. It has two branches to it. If there is a situation where an arbitrator renders a decision that a party believes is ambiguous in any respect, that party may move the court within 20 days of that decision and request that the matter be referred back to the arbitrator so that the arbitrator may clarify his opinion or his decision. The second branch provides that if the court finds any ambiguity in the arbitrator's decision, whether in terms of what the arbitrator decided or what relief was in fact granted, Section 252610 empowers the court on its own motion to refer the matter back to arbitration. In this case, neither occurred. Signal 88 never moved the court to refer this matter back to arbitration, certainly not within the 20 days that was required under the statute.
Did the trial court determined that this arbitration award was ambiguous?
I do not believe that the trial court made that determination, Your Honor. There's certainly no indication of that. There were some procedural issues.
Judge spoke on it three different times. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So the first time was an email which said it was confirming the arbitration. And then an order was supposed to be entered, and no order was entered. And then several years later, there is a discussion before a bench trial about what the judge seems to think is some confusion on his original comments, and he changes midstream and says something different, and still doesn't enter an order until after the bench trial, then enters an order that's different than what he said 2 days before. Is that accurate?
I think that's factually accurate, Your Honor.
So
but
is that an ambiguity?
No, I don't believe so. And I believe that's accurate, Your Honor. But I would characterize what occurred differently from a procedural standpoint. The issues that were arbitrated were resolved by the arbitration decision, and whether or not a final order was ever entered by operation of 252612, that becomes automatically a final arbitration decision, even in the event that there was no action by the court.
Well, there was not a final order on the motion to confirm.
There was not a final order on the motion to confirm. That's correct.
After the email, there was a final order several years later.
But, Your Honor, I guess the point I am attempting to make would be that by operation of the statute, 60 days after the motion to confirm was filed, this court's precedent is held that the statute makes that an automatic final determination, even in the absence of further action by the court, because it's mandatory. There were separate issues apart from the issues that were arbitrated that were litigated, and they had to do with a counterclaim that my client brought.
Which is not before.
Which is not before you. And that.
So the final order of confirmation sets forth termination services from July 1 until November 11th. Is that correct?
I believe so.
And awards a judgment of $109,000.
Correct.
The arbitration award said 122 days.
Correct.
Of termination service. So is July 1 to November 11th 122 days, or is that more?
I believe it's less.
It's 133.
Is it 133? Well, the arbitration decision, I believe, stated at some point that they arrived at a November 16th date.
So the 109,000 is based on 133 days of termination services, not 122.
In all candor, I have not done that math, Your Honor. My answer to that would be that because it was not timely challenged, it became a final order, and at that point became a ministerial act for the trial court to enter, irrespective of the fact that the trial court may have arrived at a different conclusion had the trial court done the arbitration or reviewed the contracts or made those initial determinations. But those determinations were made by the arbitrator, and because they were not timely challenged by Signal 88, essentially the issue was foreclosed and the arbitration decision became.
Is the trial court supposed to confirm an ambiguous arbitration award?
Well, I would submit that I don't believe that it is ambiguous from the standpoint that the relief that was granted was clearly evident from the order. In fact, ironically, they received all the relief that they were seeking and then subsequently no longer needed that relief. And I would submit that that paragraph is fairly straightforward. It's completely straightforward on what relief was granted.
It talks about renewal. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, please.
Please.
Counsel, if the district court judge had confirmed the arbitration award using the words of the arbitrator, mm-hmm. would it have ended the dispute between you and opposing counsel with respect to the meaning of those words?
With respect to termination assistance, yes, Your Honor. It would not have resolved the other issues that we had a trial on. And if I could refer back to Justice's question about the fact that there were multiple orders, I may have interjected some confusion there because out of an abundance of caution, I moved for summary judgment on the eve of the trial on the other issues because this contract was still executory when the arbitration decision was rendered, meaning that it was declared to be terminated but effective July, and my client was ordered to provide the termination assistance. So belt and suspenders, I wanted to tie off any question as to whether or not my client stood ready, willing, and able to provide those termination assistance, which they did. In fact, incurred expenses to keep the servers on and the employees hired. So I put that evidence before the court and moved for summary judgment just to not open any door as to there was an open question as to whether a breach was ever in fact occurred.
So if we go back to Justice Stacy's question, if the court had just use the exact words of the arbitrator and confirm the award, what would have happened? How do you see it going after that?
That they would have been required to provide 122 days of termination assistance.
So what was the effective date of termination based on the arbitration award in your interpretation?
Well, it's stated as July 1st, 2016.
122 days of termination services. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So you would believe you're going to offer 122 days of services. What was the rate of that termination service?
Well, the arbitrator found that the appropriate rate was $25,000.
Contrary to the contract.
Pardon?
Contrary to the contract.
As this court has held, arbitration is a messy process. The parties get what they were bargained for.
Back to my question, is that contrary to the contract? Contract call for termination services on an hourly rate. Is that correct?
So evidence that was never before the district court because it was evidence that was presented during arbitration establishes that the regular rate under the agreement was $25,000 a month.
For the renewal rate, but back to my question, under the contract, what was the termination rate supposed to be?
122 days calculated at $25,000.
What was the termination rate? Was it an hourly rate or a flat fee?
It was stipulated in the agreement that it would be calculated as an hourly rate.
Okay. But.
But.
Your interpretation of the arbitrator's award is that it was a $25,000 per month rate.
We don't have a record of what was before the arbitrator that was ever presented to the district court in order to answer those questions. All due respect, with 10 seconds, if I may reserve that for rebuttal.
You may.
Thank you.
Mr. Eversden, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. May it please the court, Michael Eversden on behalf of Signal 88 LLC. I think as the last exchange there indicated, Lyconic is not really seeking justice. It's not seeking what it was entitled to under the contract. It's after a windfall. It's trying to recover on a claim that has no basis in the party's agreement and that's never been raised or litigated in this case.
How much can we look at that given the principles Mr. DeGann alluded to about our role not being to second guess arbitration awards?
Well, the judgment, first of all, the arbitration award does not give an award based on the claim that they're asserting for $25,000 a month. I mean, the provisions of the agreement are set forth in the arbitration decision itself, and the judgment of the trial court doesn't follow that. It's very different. It's 100% different than the arbitration award itself. So the language of the arbitration award is that Signal 88 is to pay $25,000 per month for services at the renewal rate of, it describes it as a renewal rate of $25,000 per month. The judgment says that Signal 88 is to pay $25,000 a month for termination assistance. Those are different concepts under the contract. And so as indicated in the quoted portions of the contract that are in the arbitration opinion, you don't even have to go to the contract. You can go to the language of the contract that's quoted in the arbitration decision to see the difference between the judgment and the arbitration award. Lyconic has misinterpreted how the arbitration statutes work. The 20-day period is for applying to the arbitrators, not to the court. And that's made clear by the numerous cases that we've cited in our supplemental brief on appeal.
What did you think you were agreeing to when you didn't object to the confirmation?
Oh, Your Honor, we wanted it confirmed. We wanted the arbitration award confirmed. And back in May in 2016 at the hearing, we went in there saying, Your Honor, we want this confirmed, but we don't want it to be modified in the way that Lyconic is advocating.
So what did you think you were agreeing to? What did you think the confirmation was going to require you to do?
Well, exactly what the arbitration award said, which is to pay $25,000 a month for services during the renewal terms up to the point of termination.
That being the July 1st date?
Under that notice of termination, yes.
And after that July 1st date, what did you think the arbitration award was requiring you to do?
It would have required us to pay an hourly rate based on the requirements of the contract, which are spelled out in the arbitration decision. So that would be an hourly rate. There was no work performed, so there were no dollars due.
So you sensed no ambiguity at that point?
No, Your Honor. In fact, I mean, based on the email message that we received on March 31st of 2016, we believe that the trial court was going our direction because it referred to addendum 2 said that we were obligated to pay $25,000 a month at the renewal rate identified in addendum two. Well, addendum two dealt with pre-termination services. It didn't deal with compensation for termination assistance, post-termination services.
So did the district court confirm the arbitration and modify the arbitration decision?
I think it clearly modified the arbitration decision, impermissibly so. And that's why we appealed it.
Mr. DeGann argues that the arbitration decision was automatically confirmed after 60 days of its being presented to the parties. Is that your interpretation of the statute?
Absolutely not. I don't know. Mr. DeGann mentioned some authority that he thinks indicates that, but I've not seen any such authority. And there's no indication in the statute that indicates that it's automatically confirmed after that 60-day period.
We've been pretty clear to say that if there is no motion to modify or to vacate, a motion to confirm is ministerial and should be entered. How does that impact your position today?
Well, like the Court of Appeals indicated, that when the parties are both saying that the arbitration award should be confirmed, then the court's faced with a decision. You know, if both parties are advocating something different, well, is there an ambiguity in the arbitration decision that needs to be referred back to the arbitrator? Actually, the statute 2610 doesn't even say ambiguity. It says clarification. So even if one of the parties' interpretations is unreasonable, which we think Lyconics is in this case, the court still could send it back to the arbitrator, even if you know, it doesn't strictly meet the definition of ambiguity.
If the court had just confirmed the arbitration decision and used the exact words of the decision, wouldn't there still been issues?
Well, there might be a dispute as to, you know, whether Signal 88 should pay based on the arbitration decision and the judgment entered. But that's a question, you know, that's a breach of contract question, because the arbitration decision in this case is a declaration of the party's rights under the contract. And so it's really a matter of contract, whether Signal 88 was obligated to pay. And if Lyconic felt that Signal 88 should have paid, then that would be a breach of contract issue that they would have to enforce at some later time.
So the district court did an error by reducing this to a monetary judgment?
Absolutely. Yes, Your Honor. It was a declaration, and we jumped from a declaration of rights to an award of monetary damages for breach of contract. You know, we had none of the due process that should have taken place in between there.
How does the district court get to the $109,000 judgment? Is there evidence in the record or from the arbitrator's decision?
I believe it's prorated $25,000 a month for that time period that the court found, July 1 through November 11th. I think that last,
which is more than 122 days.
Correct.
If you trust my math.
Correct.
So was that an error?
Well, I believe it was. I mean, it's changing the arbitration decision.
Was the district court obligated to send this matter back to the arbitrators?
I would say that that if there was an ambiguity, meaning two reasonable opposing interpretations, then yes, it would have been obligated. And the cases that we cite in our supplemental brief indicate that. If one of those is unreasonable, which we are saying that Lyconic's interpretation is, then it wouldn't necessarily have been obligated, but it certainly couldn't have done what it did, namely to modify the decision and enter a judgment against us.
So what's the appropriate remedy from your perspective, assuming you're right on the merits? Is it to send it back to the district court for the district court to confirm the arbitration award on the terms the arbitrator set forth? Or is it to, as the Court of Appeals did, send it back with directions to send it to the arbitrators?
Well, I think you have some options here. I think the Court of Appeals decision was perfectly within its, you know, within the law. I think the another option would be for you to decide that there was no, that there aren't two reasonable interpretations about the arbitration award, and so the district court should have entered. You could decide the issue of termination assistance, and the district court should have entered judgment, basically just confirming it as is. And you know, then I guess the other option would be not to decide the termination assistance issue, send it back, have the court enter the judgment. You know, strictly in accordance with the language of the award, in which case, you know, there might be put off for another day some elements of dispute.
If this court entered an order just confirming the arbitrator's decision?
I think that's what, I think that would be a legitimate way to resolve it. I mean, you could reverse the district court and enter an order confirming the arbitrator's decision as is. That too would, you know, push off for another day the remaining dispute. But I think that would still be a legitimate way to handle it.
Does the district court's confusion indicate there's an ambiguity?
I think you hit the nail on the head when you asked earlier about the three different ways that the court handled the issue. I think that clearly indicates that there was, at least in the court's mind, not a clear, you know, not a clear statement there in the about what the termination assistance obligation was. You have any other further questions?
I do have one question. Okay. How do you square the authority of the court to send matters back to the arbitrator with 2612's direction that it should be confirmed within 60 days? Does that mean the court, if it's going to send it back, that clarification has to happen within 60 days?
Well, I think it ought to, but I don't, since 2610 says that, you know, from the time of the application until basically so long as the application is pending, you know, the court has the power to send it back to the arbitrator. I don't think there's any consequence in the statutes for the court not doing it within those 60 days. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much. Do you have time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor.
Seconds, Mr. DeGan.
I will necessarily be brief. Just a final point, and in response to Justice's question on what Signal 88 believed, I think that's the crux of this case. The underlying principle of arbitration is finality. And the only point I want to clarify on that is we filed our motion to confirm the arbitration decision on May 5th. And we stipulated in our application for confirmation exactly the relief that we wanted, which was the relief that was parroted by Judge Polk. And that was within the 20 days, put them on notice of exactly what our position was. And that was the time for them to seek relief, to have timely got this back to an arbitrator. And to the extent there is a disagreement over what he decided, we would have been able to get it resolved. Unfortunately, here we are years later, trying to relitigate an arbitration that was decided.
So if the motion to confirm sets forth a different interpretation than the other party, that's the correct, that's crucial time then to object and raise that motion to modify or to vacate?
Well, obviously, Your Honor, we would characterize our application differently. I don't believe we mischaracterized it, but certainly it would provide notice. And certainly we put them on notice that to the extent they believe we had misconstrued or misrepresented, they're on notice. And they had an opportunity within the 20-day limit to either ask the court or the arbitrators to weigh in and provide clarification, and that didn't happen.
And that failure then is critical at 25, 26, 12. shores it up.
Yes, Your Honor, I think it's statutory, and that closes the door, and at that point precluded any further inquiry on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes arguments in Signal 88 LLC versus Laconic LLC. The next case of the day is State versus Taylor.